All right, we're going to wrap up our short little series that we've done here over the past few weeks about light and how Jesus' birth changed everything. We started off by looking at Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 2 to you again. And in a world of darkness, we know that God sent a light. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. We've talked about a life of darkness. We've talked about Jesus' birth. And today we're going to talk about how the light changed everything for those who follow him. Quick reminder, when we talk about the light in that verse, we're talking about Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen Jesus. Those living in the land of darkness, Jesus has shined. So again, the birth of Jesus Christ changes absolutely everything. Back in Acts chapter 9, you remember we saw a man named Saul. He saw the light, amen? He was on his way to Damascus to bring back Christians, not in a good way, but for persecution. And he encountered the great light, Jesus Christ, and it blinded him. But from that point on, his life was forever changed. And we've been reading about that as we've been going through Acts. If you're visiting with us this morning, we've been taking a verse-by-verse look through the book of Acts. We're going to start that again next week and do that for another month until we start our marriage series. But we've seen how God changed this man and how much of an impact that he had for the kingdom and still has for the kingdom of God. Today we're going to look at some words that he wrote in Ephesians. So I'm going to encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 8 through 10. And what we're going to see this morning is how light changes everything, how Jesus Christ changes everything. You remember we saw a life of darkness. It is desperate, it's distressed, it's disillusioned, and ultimately it's doomed. Then we saw the birth of Jesus Christ and how he completely set everything different. He made a way for us to have a relationship with God. He made a way for us for our sins to be forgiven. His birth, God became a man so that he could go to the cross and pay the penalty for our sin so that we could be completely made over. And that's the first thing I want you to write down on your outline. When you see the light, when you encounter Jesus Christ, God gives you a complete makeover. A complete makeover. He changes everything. You go from darkness, you go to light. Literally, the Bible says you become a new creation. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has a relationship with Jesus Christ, if anyone is a child of God, you're born again. It says you are a new creation. You are a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. Once again, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a child of God, a believer, a born-again believer, he is a new creation, completely new. That means the old is gone. It's dead. You are now a child of God. The old has passed away. The new has come. You're brand new. God does a complete makeover in your life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. You remember when Paul encountered that light, he was blind. God wiped out his old life, changed everything. So this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, is being blinded by the light. How God completely changes everything in our lives when we embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, we're going to see that just outlined briefly in these three verses that we're going to look at. So let me read Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 10. Then we're going to talk a little bit about what our life looks like after we've encountered Jesus Christ, after we've seen the light. And it blinds us and changes everything about our lives. Here's what it says. For at one time you were in darkness. Excuse me. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. In the Lord, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Father God, I pray that as we look at these couple of verses this morning, God, you would show us again how much we have to be thankful for. As we remember what our life used to be, how hopeless we once were, and then we remember our encounter with you, how you opened our eyes, how you revealed the truth about Jesus. And then when we embraced Him, it changed everything. We saw the light. Lord, I pray today we will look at our lives and we will look at this passage of Scripture. And God, from it, we'll see what our lives should look like. What should characterize our lives now that we are children of light, now that we are Your children, Lord. And I pray by the time we leave here, we're all more appreciative of what You've done. We're more passionate for You and more committed to living godly lives than when we came in the door. So, Lord, speak in a mighty way as we look at Your Word. May You be glorified this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. So we're blinded by the light. Before we look at the light, let's remember what we came from again. Look what he says in verse 8. Look how he starts it. He says, "For at one time you were darkness." Now, you heard me have a slip of the tongue when I read this, because as you read this, you naturally want to say a word that's not there, right? Look at your scripture very closely, and you may have a different translation, but I have the ESV, and look what it says. It says, "For at one time you were darkness." What's missing that we want to say? In. I said it as I was reading, and it's not even there. "For at one time you were in darkness." And although that's true, Paul makes it even a bolder statement here when he says, "For you, at one time, you were darkness." You were darkness. In the original Greek, that's how it's phrased. You were the darkness, not in the darkness, but you were the darkness. You were the darkness. Literally, that means our behavior was characterized by darkness. It's who we were. We just weren't in a dark place. We were dark. Everything about us was characterized by darkness, this total separation from God, this sinful, fleshly lifestyle that, as we've already seen, was desperate, disillusioned, distressed, and doomed. We were the darkness. We weren't just living in darkness. We were darkness. And he says that to make a point, because we're going to see a completely sharp contrast in a moment from being darkness to not just being in the light, but he uses the same terminology when he talks about light. He says, "You are light." You were darkness, now you are light. So darkness once characterized who we are apart from Jesus Christ. But once we see the light, now the light characterizes who we are. In other words, Jesus Christ characterizes our lives after we see Him. After God takes the blindfolds off, after we see Him for who He is, He changes everything. And we're no longer characterized by darkness, but now we're characterized by life. Now let me ask you a question. If we are characterized by light, should that impact how we live? Should our lives look different than they did when they were characterized by darkness? Absolutely, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So God changed our lives when He rescued us from darkness. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." We have a lot to be grateful for this morning if you are a child of God. Not only were you in the domain of darkness, you were darkness, but God transferred you out of that into His kingdom of light. He did that for us. And when He does that, go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Now let's see the contrast and let's see the phrases that He uses again. "For at one time you were darkness, but..." Remember what we talked about, the buts in the Bible, right? When you see a but in the Bible, I know it sounds funny, but it's very important that you understand this. It indicates a dramatic shift of events, a cataclysmic change, an earth-shaking change. So the buts in the Bible are good. It says you were darkness, but you know something good's coming now, right? But something magnificent has happened. Something impossible has happened. Something that is unfathomable has happened. A huge contrast, a huge shift of events, and here's what it is. "But you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Do you see that huge contrast from being completely dark, hopeless, helpless, on our way, separated from God, to an eternal hell? God saves us, and now we are light, we're His children. Huge contrast. And now the light characterizes who we are. We're no longer the darkness. We are no longer sinful. If you take a good read of your Bible, nowhere in the New Testament does it ever call a child of God a sinner anymore. Now, we know we sin, but we're always called saints or His children. Nowhere does it refer to us as sinners anymore, because that's not our identity anymore. Now, we're saints who struggle with sin. We understand that, right? We still battle the flesh. Talks about the flesh. But that's not our identity anymore, because we are now in the light. We are the light. We are children of God. Look at all of Paul's letters. He says to the saints at these different churches. That's who your identity is, and that's what he's saying here. When he says, you are light, he means that's your new condition. That's who you are now. You are now a child of God. Jesus himself says it right there. You are the light of the world. It's who you are. Now, let's take a look at how our life changes when we impact, when we come in contact with Jesus Christ. Has anybody ever looked directly at the sun? Kids don't do that. But have you ever looked directly at the sun? What happens to your vision when you look directly at the sun? When you look up at the sun and then you come down and look at other things, what do you always still see? The sun, right? Now, it looks different, but it has blinded you to a small degree. You look up, and it takes away your vision, so everything you see, you still see that. Well, that's a great analogy of what happens when we look at Jesus Christ. You see, when we look at Jesus Christ and see Him, how we view everything else has to be impacted, right? When you look at the Son, Jesus Christ, when you look at everything else, it changes how you see things. Things that once were appealing to you, things that once satisfied you, now you look at them differently, right? Things that you used to enjoy doing, well, maybe you look at them differently now. Things that you used to and spend your money on, your time on, you look at them and say, wow, what a waste. You see, He changes everything. Our vision changes. What we look at changes. How we live changes. It's like looking at the sun and having it impact your vision. Looking at Jesus Christ impacts your vision. Another analogy, yesterday my family and I went to see the new Star Wars movie. And we saw it in the 3D, so they give you these glasses. But you have to wear the glasses to see the effects, right? One of my little boys kept taking the glasses off, and he preferred to watch the movie that way. But he was missing a lot. It was distorted. It was kind of grainy. It was fuzzy. But when you put the glasses on, everything was clear. Well, that's how our lives are like apart from Jesus Christ. Everything's distorted, blurry. Again, we're disillusioned. We think we know what's right. We think we know what we want. But our flesh is messing with our minds. And what we think will bring happiness and joy is just a blur. But when we get our Jesus glasses, again, when we put them on, we see things differently, right? Everything becomes clearer now. Now we can have the light. Now we know what's right. We know what's wrong. We can understand His plan and discern His will. But you have to leave the glasses on, right? Take the glasses off and start looking at things through a sinful mindset again. And again, then you start to fall back into old patterns and start to make excuses for things. But again, what I want you to see from looking at the sun, from wearing your 3D glasses, whatever, is Jesus Christ should change everything. Everything about who we are, what we do, where we go, how we live, what we say, everything. You got that? It should impact who we are as believers. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. Look what it says in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus. Always keeping your eyes on Him. Getting rid of the sin, keeping your eyes on Him, and it will forever impact who you are, how you live. So, let's look at three characteristics of a life that has truly been changed by Jesus Christ. You see a 1, 2, 3 on your outline. This is what we're going to talk about. Go back again to verse 8. For at one time you were in darkness. If you start at verse 1, read through verse 7, you'll see Paul expound on that darkness. We've talked a lot about it, so I'm not going to read that, but you can go back and read that. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light. We've seen the light. We've got our Jesus glasses on. Everything changes. He completely changes our lives. And now he gives us three just simple characteristics that should show us how much Jesus has changed. These things should be characteristic of our lives. These things should be a part of who we are, how we live. Look what it says. But now you are light in the Lord. Now he gives us a command. Walk as children of light. Now, what does that word walk mean? It means live, right? It means your life should now be characterized by the light. And here are three ways that you can test that. Walk as children of light. Now, look what he says in verse 9. For the fruit of light is found, in all that is good and right and true. So the first characteristic that I want to talk about life in the light, is goodness. 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 Now, you can't be good enough to earn God's favor, right? We're not talking about the works that you do. It's about something that God gives you when you become his children. And this has the idea of moral excellence, living a life that is pleasing to him. Your actions honor him. People look at you and they see something different because you're making good choices. You're making good decisions. You handle situations well. The way you carry yourself, you're morally upright. People see that there's a difference enough that they may ask you, what's different about you? How do you operate? I sense something. And that's what it's talking about, is that we have this moral character about us so that people see us and they see something different. They see the decisions we make. They see the things that we do, and it's different. They see that, you know, they may call you goody two-shoes, right? But that's a good thing when you're a believer. Not that you're upright and you're a Bible thumper and you're holier than thou, but they see something different. You don't laugh at the same things they laugh at. You don't speak the same way they speak. You don't do those things. There's something different. You have this moral character about you. Your conduct, your code of conduct is different because now it's being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now you're in the light, and that's changing everything. You've looked at the sun, so now you're looking at things differently, and that plays out in how you act, especially towards other people. And this one, as you see on your outline, this characteristic pertains primarily to our relationship with other people. So if you want to know how much of the light is in you, how much you're living for Christ, look at how you treat others. Are you trying to serve others? Are you trying to love others? Are you trying to help others? Or are you all about me, 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 me? You see, selfishness is not a work of the Spirit, right? That's the flesh. Jesus commands us to love one another many, 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 many times. And this is how that plays out. Loving one another. How you act, your nature, the things that you do. But that has to play out in your relationships. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. It says, see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Now, the one another, that's talking about to fellow believers, right? So seek to do good to one another, to serve one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to help one another, to meet needs. But he takes it a step further, not only to each other as believers, but who else? Everyone. Now, who's not included in that? Excuse me. So it's everybody, both fellow believers and the lost world. We're to make a difference. We're to treat well. We're to love. We're to serve. Now, why would it impact the lost world if we treated them that way? What might happen? They might see something, right? They might ask questions, and boom, you got an open door to share the gospel. We see how Jesus treated the lost world. He loved them. He ministered to them. He went and ate with them. He got chastised for it. But yet he was good to those who didn't know him because he was trying to love them and show them who he was. Thank you very much. We made the mistake this year of getting a live Christmas tree in our house. So. And putting it up the day after Thanksgiving. The last 2 weeks it's been completely dead. But we've been battling our kids not to take it down, and we didn't take it down. I took it down Christmas Day about 5 o'clock that night, but since then it's driven us crazy. So sorry about the allergies and the cough and all that. So, goodness. Our actions should show that our life has been impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. How we treat each other, how we treat the lost world, makes a huge difference. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine. Let people see your good works. And it says even lost people will glorify God because of you. So, is your life characterized by goodness? Are you upright? Can people look at you and say, that man, that woman's a child of God? Or is there something that would negate that? Maybe they'll say, that person goes to church, that person claims to know Christ, but yet look at how they live. You see, a life characterized by light should strive to be as free from conflict as possible, should strive to not have glitches in our character. Now, we are human and we will make mistakes, but how do we deal with that when it happens? Are we constantly letting God evaluate us, God convict us? Are we responding to that conviction? When we mess up, when we lose our temper, when we say words we shouldn't to people, do we go back and say, hey, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that, that's not who I am, you know, I let the flesh take over, I got upset. You know, how much of an impact could that have? As a Christian, you lose your cool, and guess what? It will happen, right? Anybody want to testify this morning? It will happen. But how much of an impact can we have if we go back and say, hey, that was my bad. I shouldn't act like that. That was wrong of me. You see, that's demonstrating goodness. That's demonstrating character. That's demonstrating a life that has been changed. Because you know what it takes to do that? Humility. Pride says, don't do that. You can't lower yourself. But is pride a work of the Spirit or the work of the flesh? The flesh, right? That's the darkness. But humility will say, hey, I messed up. So goodness, what's your character like? How do you treat others? What are other people seeing you? If you've been changed, if you've seen the light, then you're going to try to represent Jesus Christ in every aspect of your life. The second thing that should characterize our life is not only our external character, how we live, but our internal character. We should be characterized by righteousness. Look what he says again in verse 9. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right. Now, this pertains primarily to our relationship with God. You can write that on your outline. The first one deals with our external conduct, how we live, the fruit of our life, our interactions with people, what people see, how we live our life, things we do, say, listen to, go, all those type things. This one deals primarily with our relationship with God. The first one's kind of horizontal. This one's vertical. You know, this is how my life changes now that I'm a child of God. The first one is how that plays out with people. But this one is, well, how's my relationship with God like now? God has declared us righteous. We are no longer under His wrath. We're no longer sinners. We're no longer under His judgment. We are now His children, and He declares us righteous. So when He looks at you, He no longer sees your sin and your condemnation. He sees His Son, which makes a huge impact for us. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Look what it says God does. It says, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, you got to go back a few verses to hear what he's really saying here. So go back to verse 22. And this is, again, Paul telling us how life changes. Number one, he says in verse 22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed by the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So everything we talked about in number one can only happen if number two happens, right? If you are constantly letting God renew your mind, renew your spirit every single day. Now, how do we let that happen in our life? What are some practical ways that you and I continue to let God make and mold us every single day? Shout them out. Read the Word. Pray. Attend church. Come on. I'm deaf in one ear, can't hear out the other, so you got to yell. Love. Listen. Grace. Accountability. Small groups. Huh? Serve. All these things, right? I'll cut it off there. All these things. So these are ways that we let God mold us and shape and make us into His image every single day. Number one on that list has to be our time with Him in the Word, right? So I think that was the first thing I heard. You have to be in His Word every single day of your life. You have to be in His Word every single day of your life. You have to be in His Word every single day of your life. Now let me say it again because I don't want you to miss it. You have to be in His Word every single day of your life. Well, wait a minute. I've been a Christian for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I know the Word of God. You have to be in His Word every single day of your life. Agree or disagree? We have to be. Because it's through His Word that God continually molds us and shapes us and makes us more like His Son. Because you and I still carry flesh. We still have a tendency to sin. And you know that battle's real, right? But the more we get in His Word, the more He renews our minds, the more He changes our thoughts, the more He changes our desires, changes our hearts. He makes us more like Him. So the more we feast on His Word, the easier it is to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Now, it's not easy, but it gets easier the more you're in His Word because you're powered up. You're fed up, right? You filled up with the Word of God, which is like your spiritual meal. Most of us get up and we make sure we eat breakfast. We make sure we eat lunch. We make sure we eat dinner. We make sure we snack in between. But the most important meal of the day we neglect. And let me tell you something, this is far more important than your physical food. You have to have the physical food to live, I understand that. But if you want to make a difference for the kingdom of God, you've got to feed your spirit. And you do that by spending time with God in His Word every single day. Every single day. If not, you're giving the enemy free rein to come in and to take you back into the darkness. Now, you'll never be darkness again. You'll never be darkness, but you can walk back in the darkness, right? You can be in the darkness, but you will never be darkness. You're completely changed now. You're brand new, but we can go back into the darkness, and we can play and have fun, and we can hide. But guess who always knows what we're doing every time? The Lord. But I don't want that to happen to me. I want to stay in His Word. I want to stay in the light. I want to honor Him with everything that I am. So I have to be in His Word. I have to pray. I have to be in fellowship with other believers. All those things you said help me stay where God wants me to be. It keeps me allowing Him to work and to shape and to make me more into His image. I said accountability. Please, please, please have accountability in your life. Somebody who will hold your feet to the fire when they see you off course, or tell somebody things you struggle with so they can ask you, because all these help you stay the person God wants you to be. I love what Romans 6, 12 and 13 says. Again, it's a challenge from Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." He's talking to believers here. Sin can never enslave us anymore so that we have no choice. Before Christ, we were bound to it. We could not escape. It had us captured. But as believers, we can walk right back in and pick up those chains and wrap them around us, can't we? And Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't let sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. How do we do that? By taking our eyes off of Jesus and saying, here I am. I don't want to honor God. I want to do what makes me happy. As believers, that's a trap for us. We have to constantly battle the flesh. And Paul says, do not fall into that trap. But instead, but. Do you see another but? Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. God didn't save you to be an instrument of unrighteousness. He didn't save you to live a life that's unholy. He didn't save you to live a life that's dishonoring to Him. He didn't save you so that you could feed your flesh. You see what He's saying? Do not present your members, your body, as an instrument to use for sin. But. How many times can I say but in one sermon? But it's important. But a huge contrast. Don't present your bodies as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. But notice what it says there. But present yourselves to God. Every day we have to sacrifice ourselves over and over again. Jesus says, take up your cross how often? Daily. That means sacrifice yourselves daily to me. So when you get up, you say, God, today's not about me, it's about you. First thing out of your mouth, God, this day's not for me, it's for you. My wants, my desires, my cravings, Lord, I lay them at your feet again. Fill me with yours. That's what it says. Look, present yourselves to God. Every single day you say, here I am, God. I am yours today. Use me for your glory. How do you do that? Remember something very important. You have been brought from death to life. God saved you. He rescued you from the darkness. We've talked about the darkness. He rescued from that. He took you out of that. And now, present your body to God for instruments of righteousness. That means God wants to use you to accomplish His purposes in this world. He wants to use you to win people to Christ. He wants to use you to sponsor missionaries. He wants to use you to be better husbands and better wives. He wants to use you to raise up children who will love Him. He wants to use you to serve in our children's ministry. He wants to use you to be, you know, in the kitchen committee. He wants to use you to be a part of a small group. He wants to use you to minister to that coworker that sits beside you every single day, or that classmate that sits beside you every single day. God wants to use you as an instrument of righteousness. He wants to use you to do His work. If you go back to number one, we'll never successfully do number one if we're not letting God pour into us every single day. So what does life in the light look like? Well, it looks like people who are bearing fruit for God, who are ministering to others, who are serving others, who are loving others. But that can never happen unless we are letting God pour Himself into us every single day. You got that? So if your life as a believer does not look like number one or number two, then either you need to repent and say, God, I'm not making a difference for your kingdom. I'm not letting you pour into me every single day. And I know that's what my life should be about, bringing you glory, doing your work, whatever it is you call me to do. Last thing. Our lives should be characterized not only by goodness, how we conduct ourselves, how we live, how we interact with people, external things. Our internal character should be right. We should be before His throne every day, allowing Him to pour into us every single day, to mold us, make us, so that we can be instruments of righteousness. But thirdly, Paul says your life should be characterized by truth. Your life should be characterized by truth. Look what he says again. For the fruit of light, the products of life, the offspring of light is found in all that is good and right and true. The word true kind of sums up, you know, you take the first two and you kind of mold them together and you kind of got a life that looks like this. It's a life of honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, integrity. How much is integrity lacking today in our society? Yet God says we're to be people of integrity. People who say what they're going to do and do it. People who say what they mean and actually mean it. People who are the truth. Because remember, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we're His children, what should be a characteristic in our lives? Truth. We shouldn't be people of contrast. We shouldn't be living and walking contradictions. And I think a lot of times we are. We come in here and we raise our hands and we clap and we worship. And we sing and we open our Bible and we take notes. And in here it appears we're all about God. But then we leave and our lives show something completely different. Is that being a person of integrity? That's being a living, breathing, walking contradiction. And God says, I don't want that. Who you are, live like it. How you live should represent who you are, but whose you are. We've got to be people who actually live like we believe. So Paul sums up the first two by saying, if you want to make an external difference, make sure internally you're getting right with God. Every day He's making you and molding you. But make sure it all jives. Make sure you really are who you think you are. Make sure you truly know Jesus Christ. Have you really had a relationship with Him? Have you really been saved? Do you really know that you know that you know that you know? Don't just be going through the motions. Make sure you know that you are His. Can we know without a shadow of a doubt that we belong to Him? Paul says you got to know it. Got to have that truth in you to know that you belong to Him. You can fool everybody, but you can't fool Him. And a great way to know if you know, if you know, if you know, is to look at what you desire, right? Look at your life. Do you desire a relationship with Him every day? Do you desire for Him to pour into you every day? And do you desire to live for Him? Those are two great indicators if you're a child of God. Do you desire to be where God wants you to be? Do you desire to know Him more than anything else? And are you letting that play out in your life? Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. But you'll never have fruit without a seed, right? We're never going to bear fruit without God pouring in to us. So make sure you know what you think you know. Make sure you know that you know that you know. On your outline, the point under number three says you should desire to know more and more of the truth and to live more and more of the truth. You should desire to know Him more and more and more and more and to really live it. Not just to give lip service. Don't just pray and say, oh God, I want to know You more and I want to live for You more, but then you go out and your life doesn't reflect that. Mean it. That's what Paul is saying. In order to make a difference, in order to be people who make a difference in the world, in order to truly let God pour into us, we've got to be truly His. So make sure that you are, if not, get it right today. We've got to be people who know that we know that we know, so there's no doubts. So let's look at what he says again. A life characterized by light is no longer one that is darkness, but he says, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Live like it. Your life should show it. You should bear fruit. You should be letting God pour into you every day, and you got to know that you know that you know. You can't be a walking contradiction. Live what you believe. Look what it says in verse 10 and we'll close. It says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Can we know God's will? Can we actually know God's will? Don't be bashful. Can we know God's will? Yes. Every time we read His Word, we know His will, right? Every time. We can know it for our personal lives. We can know it for this church. Over and over, God's Word says, you can know My will. So here Paul is saying, seek it. Try to discern it. Try to understand what is pleasing to Him every single moment of your life. Dig into the Word. Be people of prayer so that you know and know and know that you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. And it's not all about you, it's about Him. A very true statement is the more you learn of God, the more you spend time in His Word, the more you realize you've got a lot to learn. You hear that? The more you spend time in the Word of God, and the more you learn about God, the more you realize you've got a lot to learn. So there's never a point in your life or my life when we say we've arrived, we've got it. We've got it. We're good. We know all there is to know. You see, the more I get into God's Word, and the more I know about God, the more I see how incredible He is, how unfathomable He is, how awesome He is. And my understanding of Him grows, but yet my awe factor grows as well. Because the more I look at Him, and the more I look at me, and the more I look at my struggles, and the more I look at how holy He is, and what He did for me, and I look at the manger, and I look at how He left the splendor of heaven and became a little baby for me, and I'm going to personalize it because He did that for me. Did He do it for you? And you think about that, and you say, why? I know me, and I'm not worthy. And then you think of the immeasurable love that He has, and His Word says He did this because He loves us. And I'm like, wow, God, how can You love me that much? So the more I know about Him, the more I understand I need to know more. And the more I want to learn more. And the more I'm just awestruck at who He is and what He's done. But He wants us to grow, right? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So we can sum this up by saying, this is what our life should look like, right? Every single day of our lives we should be growing. Growing, growing, more like Him, understanding who He is, discerning His will for our lives, letting Him shape and mold us into His image, and only then are we going to make a difference with each other and in our community. Amen. So Jesus changes everything. Amen. Took us out of darkness. Took us from being darkness. Made us light. So my challenge as we close this little short series is to make sure you're living in the light. But not just living in the light, living as light. You are light. You've been blinded by the light. You've seen Jesus Christ. Let me close where we began, Isaiah 9:2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. Now, next thing we're going to read, look at this. When you see those words in yellow, do you see those? Can you read those? You know what that says? What? What? All right. I want people at Circle K to hear you this morning. I want people waiting in McDonald's drive-thru line to hear you. And I don't care what time of day you go to McDonald's drive-thru line, there's people in that drive-thru line, right? I want people at Dunkin' Donuts to hear you. I want people at Walmart to hear you. Because we're not ashamed of that name in yellow, are we? Because we know that name in yellow changed everything for us. He took us out of being darkness to making us light. And we have the privilege every day of coming to know Him more and to being shaped and formed into His image so that we can do His work for His glory. And all of that was made possible by what God did for us because of God's love for us. So this morning, as I close and read this last phrase, when I get to that yellow word, I want you to shout it as loud as you can. Okay, will you do that? Now, I'm going to give you a practice run right here. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and then I just want you to say that word in as you can, right? Can you do that? And I'm going to be the judge of how loud it is and whether it's good enough, right? 1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
Wait a minute. Did you hear what I asked you to do? I said, when I count to three, I want you to say that word in yellow as loud as you can. You must have not heard me. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Jesus!
That's better. I think we can do a little bit better though, right? Ever been to a sporting event? Ever got excited about something? Well, you ain't got excited about nothing like you should be excited about Jesus Christ, right? So I want to think of the most excited you've ever been in your life. And multiply that by a billion. And then I want to hear that when you shout that name. Because at that name, the Bible says, every knee will bow. And every tongue proclaim that He is Lord. That means everybody who has ever lived at some point will proclaim that name and say that He is Lord. We know it now. We don't have to wait till we're in heaven and it's revealed and we're leaving, right? We know it now. We know it now without a shadow of doubt that He is Lord, right? And we know that He's changed our lives forever. And we're just going to do this one more time. So it's pass or fail and it's on you. But I want you to know that He's right here. That name is right here with us. Do you believe He's right here with us right now? You want to honor Him? You want to show Him how much you love Him? How much you appreciate what He's done for you? All right, so I'm going to read it. But when I get to that word in yellow, I want you to shout it as loud as you ever have in your life. If you leave here without a voice, that's okay. I'll high-five you when you're leaving. Ready? The people, us, walking in darkness, have seen
Jesus.
On those living in the land of darkness,
Jesus.
Shine. I know. It didn't make sense to read it like that. That doesn't make sense how that's read. I'm sorry. Let's do it again. But when I say, on those living in the land of darkness, has Jesus shined. I don't know if I wrote that wrong or maybe it does really say it like that. When I get to the last darkness, just say Jesus. And then I'll put has shined. Does that sound good? All right. So you get one more chance. If some of you weren't listening or just didn't know how to do it, God said, here's your grace. All right. Ready? The people walking in darkness have seen on those living in the land of darkness,
Jesus
has shined. Amen. 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 So, Father God, we are grateful to be in Your house this morning. God, we're grateful to assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ with one purpose, and that is to honor and glorify You, to worship You today. Lord, thank You for the worship team leading us in worship this morning. Thank You for Your word leading us to You this morning. And Lord, You just heard Your people shout the name that is above every name. The name of our Lord, our Savior, our God, Jesus. And Lord, for the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about how that one name changed everything. Lord, we know that we were a people living in darkness. We were desperate. We were distressed. We were disillusioned. And ultimately, we were doomed. And there was nothing we could do about it. But, You did something about it. You sent Your Son, the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, to this earth. As a man, He left the splendor of heaven. He's existed from all eternity, and yet He left that to become a man for us. He lived a sinless life, yet He experienced everything we experience. He knows what it's like to be hungry, to be tired, to face temptation. And yet He was without sin. Lord, we are grateful that He knows what it's like to be one of us. So anytime we call out His name and talk to Him, He's been there, He's done that. But Lord, we know this baby, this Jesus, this man, came for a reason. And that is to die for our sin. To take Your wrath that was supposed to be on our heads, He put it on Him. So that we can be saved. We can be redeemed. We can become Your children. Lord, today we've been challenged from Your word. Just a glimpse. Just three characteristics. And Lord, we know that there are more. We know that The New Testament is full of things we should be doing and how we should be living. But Lord, these two kind of sum up a lot. Lord, we know we should be righteous. We should be a people who are longing and desiring more of You every single day of our lives. Lord, we need to be in Your Word, allowing You to shape us and make us and mold us more and more and more and more into Your image every single day. Lord, search our hearts every single day. Shine Your light and show us the areas that we fall short in. Show us the areas that we fail You in. Lord, it's hard, but we know we need to see it so that we can allow You to cleanse us and to help us and to pick us up for those times that we fall. Lord, let us be a people who desire more and more and more of You every single day. Let us hunger and thirst for it. The Bible says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Oh God, fill us. Fill us. Fill us every day. And Lord, let us be a people who are so full of You that it spills out on everybody we come in contact with. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord and those who don't know You. God, let our fruit, let our life, let our actions, let what we do every single day be pleasing to You and not point others away from You, but point others to You. And Lord, this is where we need to pause a minute as the body of Christ. This is where we need to spend just a moment allowing You to search our hearts. God, show us where we're failing You. Show us where our lives aren't honoring to You. And Lord, in the stillness and quietness of this place, just for the next few moments, as You show us those areas that we need to work on, may we not condemn ourselves, may we not beat ourselves up, but may we understand grace. So as You show us, and we confess it to You, Lord, let us understand You cleanse us. All our sins are forgiven. But let it be a challenge to us to say, okay, there's an area that I need Your help, God, working on. I know I'm not perfect. I know I slip. I know I fall, most likely every single day of my life. But God, help me. So I'm going to give you just a moment to let God search your heart. And if He reveals something to you, confess it to Him. Ask for His help. Let Him search your heart over these next few moments. Lord, I don't know the specifics of what anybody in this room just prayed for other than myself. But Lord, I know and I hope that all of our hearts are saying before You this morning, God, that we do not want to use our bodies that You bought, that You redeemed, that You indwell to be instruments of unrighteousness. Lord, we don't want to use our lives and waste them. We don't want it to be about us and feeding our flesh. Lord, we want it to be about You and making a difference for Your kingdom. So, Lord, collectively we pray this morning, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our flesh and the times we fail You. Lord, as a body, we commit to seek You every single day. Lord, we need Your help to be used as instruments of righteousness. Whatever we need to do, Lord, whether it's accountability, talking to someone, Lord, we don't want to keep falling into the same traps over and over and over again. We want to make a difference for you and your kingdom, because we are light. We're not just in the light, we are light, and God, we want to shine brightly so that others will see you in us and they'll be impacted for you, and they'll ask for the reason for the hope that's in us, and we'll be able to tell them all about you. Lord, as a church, we want to make a difference in this community for you. Lord, we've been turning things upside down all year, but God, we know there's a lot of lost people. And there's a lot of opportunities you're going to give us in the next year to continue to make a difference in this community. God, may we not be the reason it doesn't happen. May we not mess it up. May we be instruments of righteousness. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for calling us into your light. Now let us walk in it. And God, if there's someone here today who doesn't know you, I pray that you've opened their eyes. You've revealed the truth to them. And they're looking at their lives and see only darkness. But Lord, today you've shown them that they can now be a part of the light. And Lord, I pray that they would surrender. They would just say yes. They would just say a short prayer confessing their sin, just telling you they need you. And Lord, you will draw them to your kingdom and they will become a child of God right here, right now. God, we know you're still saving souls. And we know there's a lot of still people in our community who need to be saved. God, use us as instruments of righteousness, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you want